Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 2nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 20, the fourth paragraph that begins with, "Now these are." We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry H., who will be reading the 12 steps, and Joanne L., who will be reading the 12 traditions. The readers of our text are Penny L. C., Christina L., and Leah S. The share ID for Tuesday, December 1st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,891. That's 15891. This morning's Wednesday, December 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 15,901. That's 15901. Our newcomer greeter for today is Audrey M.P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater one day at a time through God's grace. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to those such people wherever possible, except when to do so would harm them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service today, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H. And Joanne L., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Absolutely. Good morning, Team Wednesday. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovered. Praise God. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 20, the fourth paragraph that begins with, "Now these are." We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Penny LC, if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen, and thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Now, these are commonplace observations on drinkers, which we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. And the way I interpret these thoughts is that others have a viewpoint. That's their viewpoint. That's how they see it from their perspective. But it's not because they've not experienced what I've experienced. They're just looking at it from their experience. Their ignorance comes from a lack of knowledge about an addict's malady. They don't understand how my body is reacting to the situation. Their misunderstanding comes from a lack of experience with an addict's and that would be like with living with the physical allergy and having a mental obsession. They believe that cure is simply doing differently, and they're not aware and are making assumptions. They don't know that addicts are powerless. And the interesting thing about all of this is, as I was thinking this through, I thought, you know, this is actually how I was before I came to understand my disease. I was ignorant and I had misunderstanding because I used to think if I just tried harder, I could stop. I used to think if I just found the right combination of behaviors, I could control it. So really, I was no different than these other people, going from my limited knowledge. Even though I had experienced it, I didn't understand what I was experiencing. But this book has helped me to know I have a physical allergy, and I have a mental obsession, and I am powerless. And the only solution is a power greater than myself, and a spiritual remedy is my way to being able to do it differently. So grateful that I can understand that other people weren't just trying to make my life difficult, and that they were doing their best they could from their perspective. And I was doing the best I could from my perspective. But now that I have a different perspective and I've learned more about my disease, I can do it. I can do it another way. I can call on a higher power to help me walk through this. Let go and let my higher power be in charge. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. Okay, we're on page 40, the fourth paragraph. Now these are, and although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you didn't share Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share today, I'm ready for your name.
Larry from Northern California.
This is Audrey M.P. from Southern California.
Audrey M.P.
Lisa J.R. from Maryland.
Lisa J.R.
Courtney M.
Courtney
Robin
M.
P. from Mexico.
Robin P. I can take one more. Okay. Get you on the next round. So I have Larry, you didn't give me your first initial, I don't think, but I think it's G. Larry G, Audrey M P, Lisa J R, Courtney M, and Robin P. So go ahead, please, Larry.
Thank you for your service. My name's Larry G. I'm from California. And welcome all the new people on this call. Misunderstanding. How can someone who is not an addict understand my disease of compulsive eating? I don't understand my friends who served in the Vietnam War, who experienced things that were horrific. I don't understand. I can be empathetic. I can listen. I can be a good friend, but really, I don't understand. I don't understand somebody who's gone through a catastrophic, natural disaster like a tornado. But the truth is, I don't understand my own disease. I'm just beginning to understand. I tried out on May 17th of this year, joined Visions, and been detoxing off of excessive amounts of flour and sugar that has affected my brain and has warped my mind, and now my brain is defogging and healing, and I'm beginning to see how dishonest and how much in denial I've been. Just recently, I have been waking up. My dinners are like a third of what they used to be, but I'm still eating a large salad at night, and I'm waking up because it's either too much food, or it's the combination of ingredients. But I'm getting realize that's my disease, the disease of wanting more, the disease of not wanting to go hungry, or just the idea of going hungry. And so I have some misunderstanding. And as my journey and a vision for you, and as I become sober and more absent, my understanding of the speech grows greater and greater. Now, that's self-knowledge. It does me absolutely nothing. Self-knowledge has got me nowhere in my recovery from compulsive eating. Now, this morning I did a 10-step. I'm going to give that to my sponsor. I am going to pray frequently tonight to have a very small salad and maybe a smoothie, because I have in my brain that I have to have a full meal. I've been programmed that way. So that's a misunderstanding I have. And I love the writing of Bill W., because this book is not about you or someone else out there who has a misunderstanding of my peril, common peril we suffer. But this book is about self-responsibility. I am responsible for my recovery. And as I grow and learn, my recovery is going to change. Things I ate in May and June and July, I no longer am eating today. My food plan is changing because my understanding of my illness is changing. Thank you so much for your service and allowing me to share about this today. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. Audrey M.P., you are up, followed by Lisa J.R.
And good morning, Team Wednesday. This is Audrey M.P. from Southern California. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater and recovered bulimic. I have not practiced bulimia for 27 Thanksgivings, and it's a miracle. I know we're in the Olympics of eating, the trifecta of the holidays, and this paragraph. Oh, I had it on my iPad. It just left. I want to thank everybody for their service and for their shares already resonating with me. I haven't shared since before Thanksgiving, and I heard someone say, if it's beyond nutritional, it's emotional. And, I'm sitting on a 10th step from the holidays, and I feel riddled by emotion. And my food was pretty clean. I'm not entirely neutral around food, but I was this holiday. But I remember, my mother, when I was first abstinent, I would say, oh, I'm not eating this or I'm not eating that. And, and then every holiday would be different. Take back some foods on one holiday and the holidays at my mother's house is super loaded for me. It is just loaded. It's like a mine field. And I remember one year she just broke down. She was in the kitchen. She goes, I don't understand what you eat. Why can't you have this? And why can't, and like, she was crying. Like my disease had tortured her completely. And, it's hard. Okay, so I'm single and dating or trying to explain, people don't understand and we can't expect them to. And this is where the grace of the fellowship comes in, where I can call somebody and say, I remember being riddled just telling people I was going to meetings. In face-to-face meetings, they're like, well, where are you going? Because my whole routine, my whole life changed when I started to get abstinent and Overeaters Anonymous. And I would just say, I'm going to coffee or I'm going here. I remember I had a really big job and we had big parties every 6 weeks, screening films. They're just riddled with food. Anyway, I have the grace today of not practicing bulimia for 27 years. And I have the grace today to say I'm a card-carrying member of Overeaters Anonymous. And I think it's true that even people newly in recovery, I talked to a newcomer the other day, and she's like, I don't understand what's happening. And so we just keep coming back. And I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Audrey M.P. Lisa J.R., good morning. You are up, followed by Courtney M.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here, calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Gratefully recovered by only by God's grace, one day at a time. So These are commonplace observations. Behind them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. When I came into the rooms, I was a real justice freak. First and foremost, it was there was injustice behind the fact that I was a compulsive overeater, so I thought. And then once I got recovery under my belt, even a small amount of recovery under my belt, I felt like, gee, you know, there's injustice in the fact that nobody will understand when I explain to them that this is how it is. And I had to let go of that. There's a slogan in the rooms, let go and let God. And I used to roll my eyeballs at that. But I have to understand that the majority of people out there do not care. They don't want to understand, and they will never understand because they don't walk in our shoes. So I have to let that go. I have to let go my perceived injustice at that, and I just have to work my program. I love what one of our fellows says when she says, I know what I am. I am a compulsive overeater. Armed with that fact, we can move on and go into the solution without being encumbered by this sense of injustice. It isn't fair. I'm a victim. Poor me. This is my life. Ironically, another thing, when I came into the rooms, when people would say, I'm grateful for my disease, I thought, you've got to be out of your mind. You know, rolling my eyeballs again. I was quite the eyeball roller when I came in. But the truth is, I'm grateful for it because it drew me closer to God and drew me closer to my fellows. And I was terminally selfish when I came in here. So with that, I'll pass. And I think somebody's unmuted.
Audrey's a strong silent type.
That's right.
Lisa, are you still there?
Yes, I'm there, and I very gratefully pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, thank you so much, Lisa, JR. Okay, Courtney M., and if you're, can you please check your phones and make sure you're muted, everyone? Courtney M., you're up next, followed by Robin P. Go ahead, Courtney.
Hi, this is Courtney M., gratefully recovered in Southwest Florida. I this is one of those times when I volunteered to share without an agenda. I had no idea what I was going to share about. I just felt like it was time for me to claim my seat because today I am on the call live and able to do some service. And thank you to everybody who makes these meetings possible every day. And thank you to all of the people who are on the line. Whether you're sharing or not, because you being here has helped me and many people that I know here in the program to find a level of sanity that I never thought was possible for me. So in this paragraph, the thing that sort of resonated with me today was that idea of that behind all of these suggestions is quite a bit of ignorance. And you know, I was actually just speaking with a sponsee this morning about what a relief and a comfort it is to be in this program and have people to reach out to say, I do this with food or I have done this with food in the past. And not to be rejected and not to be told, oh, you should do blah, blah, blah instead. What I have found over and over again when I have the opportunity to reach out to somebody else in this fellowship is I tell them, you know, honestly and transparently about my history, and they don't come at me with a judgment. They don't come at me with, well, you should try Weight Watchers. Or they come at me with, oh, me too. Me too. I've done that too. And for me, the thing that is so magical about that experience is that I get the opportunity to come to a level of acceptance about who I am and how I react to life. Not just how I react to food, but how I react to life. And just to hear that there are other people who have done this also helps me to not slam the door in my own face. It helps me to feel a level of acceptance for my situation, but it also helps me feel a level of acceptance for myself. I get the opportunity to feel like I am not a completely useless human being because of these behaviors. Instead, what I get is an opportunity to recover because of my history. Because of my disease, I get the opportunity to live in a way that I always had dreamed that I could live, which is to be honest and open and transparent. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Courtney M. And before we take you, Robin P., I just want to remind everybody that we're on page 20, the fourth paragraph that begins with, "Now these are," we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So go ahead, Robin P., and I'll be taking some more names after Robin.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater near Tulum, Mexico. And I'm very grateful to be recovered today. And thank you so much, Kathleen, for moderating and everyone for their service. You know, I was just with my mom in Florida for the holidays, and she's a compulsive overeater who's in total denial, and she's obese. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of denial, and then there are people who, there's a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. My mom knows about my recovery and sees my recovery, but she's just not ready, you know, and she, at 87, she may never be ready. And it's okay, you know, because it just matters that I'm working my recovery. And then there are people who are just judgmental, and it doesn't matter, because if I live to please them instead of God, I've done that before. And wow, that was really not a, that was a horrible way to live, worshiping what people think of me. And what people think of me is none of my business. What God thinks about me is my business. And what my heart knows is right. And so, you know, I used to look at people who were thin and I thought that they were all bulimic. I just kept thinking, how can they be thin and eat food, you know? And so it's just where anyone's at. People can judge. It just matters that I'm in recovery and I have my steps and my solutions and all of you, my God and my fellows. And this is my tribe. This is my recovery team. And it takes a village. And I'm so grateful that I'm in the village. You know, I always think of the sheep on the outside of the fold, and they're the ones that get eaten by the wolves. And as long as I stay in the center of the pack, stay in service and in the steps and the solutions, I get to be one of the sheep that is in the center. And God bless everybody with your blessed abstinence day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin P. And we are on page 20, the fourth paragraph. Now these are, we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. So if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share, I'm ready for some names.
Sharon.
Okay, I think I heard a. Did I hear a Karen?
Sharon.
Oh, Sharon. What was the name? Sharon W.
W. Mm-hmm.
Leah
S. You're at a Charles H.
Leah
Matt
S.
JF.
Charles H. Did I hear a Laura?
Yes, Laura T.
Laura T.
Matt JF.
Kathy Z.
Matt. Was it Matt J?
JF, yep.
JF is in Sam.
F is in fellow.
F is in fellow. Okay, thanks, Matt. And then I heard a Kathy. What was your initial, Kathy?
Z as in zebra.
Okay, let's stop right there. So I have Sharon W., Leah S., Charles H., Laura T., Matt F and Kathy Z, or Matt J F and Kathy Z. Okay, go ahead, please, Sharon W. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Sharon W. from Southern California, gratefully recovered. And this is my first share, I believe. It's one of those subjects that I think we all have something to say about. After my dieting history, I sort of started to feel like the boy who cried wolf as related to diets go. And when I first started OA and people would ask me, you know, what I was doing or how I was.
Sharon, we lost you. You still there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Sharon. Thanks.
Sorry, I'm not sure where you lost me. So after my diet history, people would you know, ask what I was doing now, and I would stumble over my words, not quite sure what to say, and I would get like a little kind of chuckle or, and perhaps it was my own insecurity, but I felt like people were looking at me and thinking, yeah, that weight will be gained back anytime. But as months went on and I understood the mental obsession and the allergy, I became more confident when people would ask me, and whether it was my explanation, I believe it was my sincere understanding and being more comfortable. But today, I say that the problem wasn't the food, but my emotional state and spiritual and mental state. And if that's all kept in check, food isn't a problem. And for some reason, people seem to understand that. I don't get, you know, any of that, you know, questioning or, you know, odd comments or laughs. But having said that, on another note, in a week is my birthday, and I'm fairly certain that my family doesn't understand why they can't make me an abstinent cake. So that's a whole other story. For me to try to explain. But anyway, thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you all for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sharon W. And Leah S., good morning. You're up, followed by Charles H.
Thank you so much. My name is Leah S. Good morning, everybody. Recovered in Brooklyn and very grateful. Okay, so we see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. You know, let me tell you something. I am a compulsive overeater. You're going to tell me that that pint or that piece is still in the freezer since June? Get out of here. That's not me. That is not me. I'm identifying, and I'm telling you all, I am a compulsive overeater. And people will tell me, for whatever reason, I can't go philosophizing why they do this. And please, you know, how many Thanksgivings did you go through without that piece? Or, you know, I made it so differently. You know, I don't have to explain it, but if I do want to, I have come to the stage where I say, yeah, I would love to eat it, but I'm afraid that you're not going to have anything left over for anyone else because I'm going to have it all. And I'm going to grade your kitchen. I know I am a compulsive overeater, for crying out loud. I don't know why, but I am. And I'm so grateful to belong here. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. And Charles H., you are up, followed by Laura T. Good morning, Charles.
Thank you for your service. So back of them is a world of back of where? Down in my mind, down in my psyche, there's a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. That's with every human being. You don't understand me, I don't understand you, and that's fine. And, you know, I used to go to this AA meeting before this current situation that the world is in, and this old-timer said, you know, they thought he was nuts, and no one didn't understand him. He said, you know, everybody nowadays want to be alcoholics. You know, he died, but now I understand I finally understand. Everybody want to be a recovered compulsive overeater and an attendant of A Vision for You, because it's such a healthy meeting and it's so popular. I hear some people in the background, very disrespectful. Some people, I don't understand how people don't press star one when it's not their 3 minutes. But you know what? That's not for me to understand. I really believe that, you know, page 54 ties into this reading. We found, too, that we have been worshipers. What a state of mental goose flesh. Some people worship this meeting. You know, they worship the people. They worship being popular. They worship being heard. I get it. You know, it's a pandemic. You know, you don't understand that my people, some people that are like me, have been in a pandemic for over 400 years. You don't understand. But I'm here to take calls to make you understand. If you
Charles, are you still there?
Yeah, I passed.
Okay, thank you, Charles. Okay, Laura T., you're up, followed by Matt J. F. Go ahead, Laura.
Good morning. My name is Laura T. I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, it's funny. Every time I listen to this meeting, and I do often, I hear the reading and I think, oh, there's not going to be anything to say about this. It's so short. It's so, you know, doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's not a good one. And then it just blossoms into a huge topic and reinforces my belief in the big book every day that I listen to this meeting. So I think that's wonderful. But to the specifics, you know, when I was new in the program, I thought, oh, you know, my world just needs to be OA people. They get me. They understand, they know what I'm going through, and let me just be in this bubble of love and kindness and acceptance and understanding. And in my selfishness, which is one of my defects of character, that's what I wanted, that's what I needed, nobody else understood, let me just be around these folks. But I can't just be around people who are non-judgmental. It's my job to be out in the world as a human being, and my world can't just be Overeaters Anonymous. I have to go out there. And so as I grew in my program and I got out of myself, which is something I got out of myself in the past tense. It's something I struggle with every day to get out of myself. I live in steps 10 through 12, and I have to accept that maybe not everybody accepts me. And I'm supposed to just go out there and live in loving kindness to others. And in that way, I am an example of what God has shown me and is doing through me. When I'm channeling my clear path between me and God, my higher power, I'm able to react with love and kindness most of the time. So it doesn't matter if others don't understand me. And I have to keep telling myself that every day. It's not about me. I don't need to live where I am comfortable. I need to be uncomfortable. And I need to practice being around those who do not have the understanding of my disease, but who maybe have a disease of their own that doesn't have a group. Maybe their disease is to be controlling. Maybe their disease is over judgmentalness. And I call those a disease. I don't want to, you know, get into the medical aspects of that. But, you know, everyone has his or her issue. And one more day, one day at a time. Thank you very much. I'm just going to try to keep my path open to God and respond with loving kindness. And that's what living in 10 through 12 is for me. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for all those who have shared before me and who are doing service, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura T. Okay, good morning, Matt J.F. You are up, followed by Kathy Z.
Thank you so much, moderator, for your service. This is Matt J.F., living gratefully recovered by God's grace in Louisville, Kentucky. And I find myself connecting this paragraph back to our primary purpose of carrying the message of still suffering compulsive overeater. And so I want to try and say two things quickly. Number one, I was one of those judgmental people. And so if you're a newcomer thinking that you're judging yourself and it's hard for you to admit, to take step one, I want to share a little about that. The other thing I want to share is other people's judgments are none of my business. So the first thing, step three is so essential to me that I surrender my will and my life to a power greater than myself, because no power, no human power is going to solve my problem. And I realize that's because no human power created my problem. Because who would choose this? I wouldn't. Because no human power created my problem, how is any human power, including and especially mine, ever going to solve it? I'm not going to solve my affliction of compulsive overeating any more than I'm going to solve being 5'8" at age 49. Any more than I'm going to solve having brown eyes. It's just a fact of existence. So once I stopped thinking of being an addict as a negative and just acknowledging a reality, it lost its power over not the addiction, but my resistance to being an addict. It was a relief. This isn't my fault. I was made this way. So if you're resisting thinking of yourself as an addict, someone who cannot control their choices with regards to food, maybe think about the fact that it's okay. You didn't choose your eye color either. The second thing I want to say is I was one of those people who judged other compulsive overeaters. I thought step one was total malarkey. What does that matter? What does my, even if I were still there, you don't know me, what does my judgment matter to your recovery? Your journey is your journey. My journey is my journey. Why would I ever let someone else's judgment of me, which to me means their work that they have to do, stand in the way of my recovery? Who does that help? It doesn't mean I don't have feelings about it. It just means that I have to accept that the feelings are okay and surrender those too, because my primary purpose is to recover so I can carry the message to those who still suffer.
Thank you, Matt J.F. And Kathy Z., you're up, and after Kathy, I'll be able to take maybe one or two more names. So go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathleen. This is Kathy calling from Washington. I'm a compulsive eater recovered, and thank you for your service. Thank everyone for your service on the line, and thanks, everybody, for sharing this life-changing morning with me. Every morning, actually, that I'm on Visions is life-changing to me. So thank you so much. I've spent so much time seeking to be understood in my life, and part of that seeking to be understood is what fueled my addiction. I just couldn't stand not being understood, and it hurt. But it became a point where it was constant all the time. But then when I came into program and started working the steps, and God's been helping me become less of self, I'm finding that I don't need to be understood anymore. And when I have those thoughts that are coming into my head about, oh, well, wait a minute, maybe I should... with relation to somebody responding to my weight loss or what I'm doing, and I say, you know, I'm doing a spiritual 12-step program, and I can see the look on their face, and either they're like, oh, okay, you know, tell me more, or they're like, what? I find myself wanting to, oh, wait, they don't understand. I guess I have to explain more, you know, and I feel uncomfortable. But that only lasts for a short period of time because it really doesn't matter whether I'm understood or not if I am seeking to do God's will every day and to be present and aware of how God wants to use me to share this program with other people. And so I'm becoming more comfortable with not having to always be understood. And that feels really good because it's releasing discontent in me that was fueling my need for food. So the other thing, too, is there's a very special prayer that I pray. And in that prayer, it's the St. Francis prayer, which some other AAers and OAers, it's in some of our literature anyway. And in that prayer, it asks that I seek to understand rather than to be understood. And when we seek to understand, then we're also seeking to have more tolerance and acceptance as defined in the big book. And it just helps us be more gracious, loving people. And I'm so thankful that that's being lifted from my heart to always want to be understood and that I'm gaining more strength in seeking to understand others. So thank you so much for letting me share. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Kathy Z. Okay, I have time for one more share. Would someone like to share on this paragraph on page 20, fourth paragraph?
Georgie.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, George. Thank you.
Well, this has been a really interesting meeting. I'm not sure I was in focus with the paragraph, but you know, my personal experience is that nobody ever understood me, right? I mean, you can't understand me, right? Because I'm just not that important. So, you know, the word that comes to mind is a German word called Gestalt. You have to experience something to know it. In other words, you can have empathy for people if you've truly walked their path. But you can only have sympathy for people if you don't understand. So I like what was shared about better to understand than be understood. Yeah, I have to say that sometimes to let it go. Just let it go. And I say it, and then I don't do it, or I do it and take it back. I actually avoided a meeting last night because I knew they'd have cake, you know. And I realized that, you know, that's not a good sign. I mean, that means I'm probably not in fit spiritual condition, you know. But, you know, this meeting helps me get in fit spiritual condition. That's why I keep coming. And I do like to lead what she shared. This has been an interesting meeting. Thank you for helping me keep abstinent today. Have a blessed day, everybody.
George, what's the first initial of your last name?
E is a bad word.
George E. Okay, thank you so much, George E. Okay, I actually have time for about a 2-minute share. Would anyone like to take it?
Janice K.
Hello, this is Connie Yetta. I would really like to share.
Okay, I heard Janice K. come in first. And Janice, we only have about a minute, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
Okay. Can I be heard?
Yes.
And I will go ahead. Okay. It was never what other people said to me. It was what I said to myself. They would give me a line. I would take it in and blow it up and make it worse, and make it mine, and say, okay, this is me. I've heard in program, the mind is like a bad neighborhood. Don't go there alone or after dark. And that's why I need my higher power with me, so that I have some protection against the obsession of the mind that says, you have to have that, and the allergy of the body that says, oh, boy, that will solve it all. So thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice Kay. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to our Team Wednesday, Terry H., Joanne L., Penny L. C., Christina L., Leah S., Audrey M. P., and Robin P. Thank you so much for your service this morning. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Christina L., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.